Yeah? The owner of it is Roger Enright, one of those self-made men. Stubborn and rich as blazes. It's always safe to denounce the rich. Everyone will help you. The rich first.
Yeah.
And that's from The Fountainhead. The rich will denounce themselves first. Why would the rich denounce themselves? If they work so hard, why would they put themselves down when they finally reached financial success? Why are people so confused about the relationship between money and happiness? And with me to discuss this topic today is Dr. Tara Smith. She's a professor of philosophy at the University of Texas at Austin. And Dr. Smith is the author of several books on ethics and a pamphlet, Money Can Buy Happiness. And that's a wonderful pamphlet, a real eye-opener. It doesn't ensure happiness, but it's a wonderful eye-opener. And that's available at Amazon.com or at my website, drkenner.com. And our topic today is about money and happiness. Can money buy happiness? And welcome, Tara.
Great to be here. I love talking about these subjects.
Okay. And it's a very confusing one because most people think about the new house they'd like to buy or someday dream about a vacation they'd like to take, or even on a smaller scale, they want to build a garden, make a beautiful garden for themselves. And they have a long wish list of things they could do if they have more money. But then they're plagued by clouds of guilt, as I know you've said. Why? Why are they plagued by guilt?
Well, because they accept contradictory ideas. It seems perfectly natural and sensible and reasonable, as you indicate, to want to make your life better, be it in small ways or big ways, right? As you say, everybody's got a wish list or, boy, if I had more money, I would spend it on sprucing up the garden or taking that vacation or all sorts of things. That seems reasonable. That's what we want for the people we love as well as ourselves, right?
Right, right.
But at the same time, most people in our society today accept a moral philosophy that says, oh, no, that would be selfish. You need to put other people first.
And we hear that all the time. We hear that we're a consumer society, and that's not said with a sense of pride. It's said with a sense of contempt. We're too materialistic, and that we should be after more worthy pursuits. And what is that typical view?
Well, first, let me just underscore what you're saying. It is absolutely pervasive, this idea. You don't see arguments for the idea that you should sacrifice yourself because it's taken as self-evident.
Right.
It's just treated as a given.
Right.
Every springtime commencement addresses at universities around the country, what do the speakers typically call upon the graduates to do?
To sacrifice.
Okay, now it's your chance to give something back. Now it's your chance to serve something larger than yourself and so on. So there's this real palpable, just taken for granted, moral belief. We see it in Christianity, we see it in altruism of all sorts, of all religious stripes and non-religious stripes, that others are more important than yourself. And that's a recipe for unhappiness. To the extent that a person believes that, he's undercutting not only what he might do with his money, but what he does with his days, what he does with his time, and he will be completely, as you say, racked by not just clouds of guilt, but a whole storm.
Right. When you say the word altruism, most people think of that as being benevolent and kind and your neighbor gets sick and you bring some chicken soup over and yes, you're doing for your neighbor, but it gives you a sense of reward too. And you hold doors open for little old ladies and you help out a kid who can't go to college. You give them a little bit of extra money and they look at that as selfless, that's what the giving person should do. And that's what we want to bring our kids up to be, altruistic, selfless. Mm-hmm. And you're not using it in that context, are you?
No, I'm not using it that way. And I'm glad you raised that because I think there is widespread confusion about that. That is, people kind of mash together a few really different ideas, different practices. When I criticize altruism, I'm criticizing the idea that you have a duty to put other people first. You must morally sacrifice yourself and things that mean a great deal to you for the sake of other people, even when those particular other people really don't mean all that much to you. Now, that, so self-sacrifice is what I'm talking about when I talk about altruism. But we shouldn't confuse, and I think you're quite right, that people frequently, even innocently sometimes, confuse self-sacrifice with benevolence, wishing other people well, and kindness, and sometimes giving to them and helping them. That is, I don't mean simply benevolence as, oh yeah, in my head, I'd like it for everybody to be happy. There's nothing wrong, I think, with helping people sometimes, doing something, putting your money where your mouth is or your goodwill is, if and when the person you're helping is somebody who you value. And you value helping that person in that situation more than you value the particular effort or money or whatever it might be that you're giving them.
So it brings you...
The test is really, is it a sacrifice or not? But I'm all for benevolence. I'm all for kindness and sensitivity to other people's circumstances. What I am adamantly opposed to and what's antithetical to the pursuit of happiness and the achievement of your happiness is you're putting other people's happiness first.
Okay, so if you work really, really hard and a neighbor has a kid who just could use a little extra help and you adore this child to pieces, you adore the neighbors and you want to help them out and you take some of your money and give it to them to help the kid, maybe get an operation or maybe go to a school of their choice, that is not what you're considering a sacrifice. You're considering it a sacrifice if the neighbor stole from you or did something terrible to you, and then you feel that, like you have to be humble and have pity on the...
Or if it were demanded that he has a right to it because he's needy.
Right.
And you happen to have money.
Right, and that gets into it.
And moreover, I mean, the situation you described does sound like it would not be a sacrifice. If I really, as you say, I like this kid a lot. I think he's a great kid. I think he's a promising person, you know.
Right.
I enjoy his company. I hope he can do well. I realize that I'm in a position to help them out a little bit here. And if I can do that without sacrificing anything that I value more, like maybe my own children or myself.
So
maybe there's something I've been saving up for that's incompatible with that. But when, I think this is more the situation you had in mind, when it would not be a loss, but actually a gain for me, for things I care about, including
right.
this person.
Right, the neighbor or whatever.
In a material way, that's wonderful. That's
so
great.
So altruism is self-sacrifice. It will not bring you happiness. And if you earn your own money, you have a right to keep it and to spend it on your top values, which may include other people or may not include other people. And it's been my pleasure today to talk about your right to be happy, your right to earn money honestly, and then to spend it on your top values. And I want to mention that if you want any information on Dr. Tara Smith, you can get it. She's written several books and a wonderful pamphlet, Money Can Buy Happiness. You can go to Amazon.com, and of course, you can go to my website, drkenner.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Tara Smith.
Thank you very much for having me.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner.
It's no accident that narcissists and altruists often have a magnetic attraction to one another. Can you see how perfect the fit is? The altruist feels the need to selflessly serve others, and this is just what the narcissist wants. Narcissists want to be worshipped and gratified in every way possible, and this is just what the altruists offer, thinking it demonstrates their moral virtue. But the fact that they represent a fit does not make such a relationship successful. The narcissist cannot be satisfied and may soon tire of just one worshiper. And the more selfless the worship the altruist offers, the greater the feeling of emptiness that results. Such people may stay together out of fear or inertia, but it won't be a relationship between self-respecting equals, and it certainly won't be romantic.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.